All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back again to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I'm your host. The European tour for the WWE continues. They were in Belgium for this episode of Monday Night Raw on St. Patrick's Day, a special episode of Raw because we were going to hear from John Cena for the very first time after his actions at the Elimination Chamber. So a lot of people have been waiting to hear what John Cena had to say. We are going to be sharing our thoughts about what John Cena said on this episode of Raw. We also had a contract sign-in for the Women's World Championship, Io Sky and Bianca Belair, which got crazy at the end. Like usual, these contract signings usually they tend to get crazy, and this one did once again. And we got so much other stuff to talk about, you guys, so we're gonna get into it. We're waiting on Mr. Blood is not here with us yet, and I know he has a lot to say probably about the John Cena promo that we heard today. So normally, I would like to get started with that, but we're going to wait on that one. We're actually going to get started with one of my other favorite segments of tonight's show, which was the mysterious masked luchador that showed up once again. We have a funny name for that guy over at the Heel Shit Podcast. Shout out to my boys Dark and Draven. Have a funny name for the mysterious masked luchador wearing the alpha, what are they called? The alpha maid? No, American alpha? American maid. So this guy with the American maid luchador mask, he comes out, and over at the Heel Shit Podcast, we called him Ultimo, no, what was it? Ultimo MAGA? Well, Ultimo MAGA, right? Yes, Ultimo MAGA. Showed up again on Monday Night Raw, and I got a second look at him, a closer look, and now I'm convinced that it's definitely Chad Gable. I don't care what anyone else says or what anyone else tells me, but that is definitely Chad Gable, right, fellas? Toxic, you don't know? Toxic, let's go with you first, Toxic. What was your thoughts about? Let's start off with the match, because this was after the LWO versus the American Maid, and then Chad Gable, I'm just going to call him Chad Gable, attacked the LWO after the match. Thoughts on the match and thoughts on the this mysterious masked luchador. Who do you think it is? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but we saw him again. Has your thoughts changed about this?
So the match was kind of disappointing, and it wasn't really because of LWO, Rey and Dragon Lee. They always outperform every single time, but the match was just kind of blah for some reason, and it's probably because American Maid, the Creed Brothers in specific, and Mr. Blood is here. Welcome. But my thoughts have definitely changed, and I think that it's 100% Chad Gable.
All right. Welcome, Mr. Blood. How you doing?
Awesome. My wife and I got to do that that 2 month early access to the new Epic Universe theme park today in Orlando, Florida. That is Universal's new theme park. So had a great time doing that. That was fun. Other than that, I'm ready to talk some wrestling. So
wonderful. Good to have you. BT, let's go with you next. Has your thoughts or opinions changed about this mysterious masked luchador since the last time we spoke about it?
Not really, no. I still believe that it's Chad Gable. Ultimo MAGA. That is the one name that takes the cake for me. I am always going to call him that from now on. Thank you, Heel Shit Podcast. Oh my God. Ultimo MAGA. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I definitely believe that Ultimo MAGA is Chad Gable. At this point, they're basically doing the Mr. America thing with Hulk Hogan back in the day. That's basically what this story is. And disappointingly, I didn't get to see the match between American Made and LWO. Mm-hmm. Wasn't interested in it. But as soon as I saw Chad Gable come out, I'm like, oh, yes, Ultimo Magga's back. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I still think Chad Gable is this Ultimo Magga guy. So those are my thoughts.
All right, on Tommy, let's hear from you next.
It's kind of obvious that it is. It's got to be Chad. Down to not only the moveset, but at the end, both times that he's appeared now, he said the exact same thing in the exact same way that Chad Gable says it. Iglesias! Like, it literally just saying, thank you! Which is just him. It's gotta be Chad Gable.
Yeah, and also, last week we saw both of them in the same picture frame, right? Chad Gable and whoever it was that was wearing the mask at the time. But we fast forward a week, or no, just a few days, right? No, it was a week. It was last week on Monday Night Raw, the first time we saw him. Yep. This time, Chad Gable was out in the ring earlier during the match, a different match. Now Chad Gable, he's not out there with the Creed brothers, and you know,
that's exactly what is. He came out at the beginning of Ivy's match, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, when the mystery masked person shows up, I'm like, okay, where the fuck did Chad go?
Yeah, a little convenient, I thought.
Like, you almost never see, except for that one time, them in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chad.
All right, Mr. Blood, changed my mind. This is definitely Chad Gable, the guy that we saw today, right?
I think, obviously, when you look at the lower half of his face, he was on TV twice tonight. So he was there ringside for Ivan Alvarez, Dakota Kai. And I saw that right, because I didn't watch it in real time because I was at the theme park. So I went through all the highlights on YouTube and everything to check out everything I missed. And the clip right before that is, you know, when he comes out the mask again and attacks, and from the bottom lip, that big curved bottom lip all the way down to the chin, it's his chin. Here's the thing, though. I think that's intentional. I think 100% sure, because Triple H knows that we automatically just think it's Chad Gable, and he knows that there's another half of the fan base, because he's plugged into the internet wrestling community, that he probably knows, believes that this is all just a swerve to probably debut Rey Fénix. So honestly, it could go one of two ways. He's either going to swerve us, the internet wrestling community, into thinking that it's actually Rey Fénix, and then he could just basically it be a non-swerve and lackluster, and it really is just Chad Gable, or it's going to be the old switcheroo where it's Chad Gable whenever the masked guy gets caught. He's not in the mask, but Rey Fénix is. Like, Rey Fénix keeps taking the fall for him on purpose. But I still think this 100% ties into Rey Fénix. I don't see why it wouldn't, to be 100% honest with you. Because he's the only other, like, why start the luchador story, right, if you're not planning on introducing another luchador? Because unless you're trying to do a commentary on, you know, America and Mexico right now in the political landscape in our real world here, you know, the whole Ultimo Magga thing that DT mentioned, well, the reason that's so funny and that someone said that is because, well, Ultimo Magga, make America great again, American made, all American, you know. So, and then you're talking about him going to Mexico, training in a Mexican style. It's kind of art imitating life for the humor of it. But it's also, why would you do all this just to have it still end up just being Chad Gable the entire time? Like, that's a waste of everybody's time. It's not interesting. It's some shit that Vince would have done. And I agree with BT where he's talking about, you know, the whole Hulk Hogan thing when he was Mr. America, whatever the fuck it was. Who else had the body type that Hulk Hogan did? Who else had a handlebar? Who else had the handlebar mustache sticking out through their actual mask? It wasn't going to be anybody else but freaking Terry Taylor, Hulk Hogan. Who else was it going to be? Chad Gable can't hide that chin. I'm sorry. So, you know, as far, I mean, if they wanted to really trick us, it should have been a full face mask. But I think the reason that it's not is for the sheer purpose of we're supposed to know that it's Chad in ring. So they can keep giving us the funny shit backstage afterwards on purpose to then swerve us into Ray Fiennes. I think it's all intentional from every angle.
Yeah, definitely intentional. I just think it's going to be kind of, I don't know, because clearly they're not doing a very good job about hiding the fact that that is Chad Gable under the mask.
But I think that's on purpose. I think they're
right, but hear me
trying
out.
To hide it.
But hear me out. Yeah. So they're trying to, you know, they're not doing a very good job about hiding it, right? We all know it's him. I mean, the stocky build, the chin, like you said, and then what? Later on, they're going to be like, oh, it was Ray Phoenix the entire time. Like, no, it wasn't.
No, it's going to be the old, it's going to be the old Scooby-Doo shit. Hey, there's actually two villains here. There's the one that's portraying the in-ring physicality, because I don't see Ray Phoenix doing Chad Gable's chaos theory. So it's like, oh, hey, similar build, similar body style, completely different wrestling styles, though. But, of course, hey, when it's on camera, in-ring, for the close-ups, yeah, it's definitely Chad. But then you're going to – but then when we go backstage and it's – well, it couldn't be me. There's the guy right there, and it's the other guy taking the fall so they can keep doing this shit and not stop having to stop from getting caught. Scooby-Doo shit. Two villains playing one character. But you're supposed to know who one is on purpose, so it keeps you guessing on who the second person is.
I caught this comment a while ago when I went back to re-listen to the last time we spoke about this, and someone mentioned, I forgot who it was, said that Ray Phoenix and Chad Gable have similar builds. That's not true.
Not entirely, but if you film it a certain way from a distance, you can't tell.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Tommy.
The one thing that I'm noticing that nobody's brought up, not even me, and I meant to bring this up, the voice when he does it. That is Chad Gable's voice. I had to re-listen to it a couple times. Mm-hmm. But as he's saying gracias and all that, that's Chad Gable's voice. Mm-hmm. I can recognize it from a mile away.
Mm-hmm. All right, final comments. I thought you had something to say, Mr. Blood, but let's move on from this. I think we pretty much covered everything when it comes to Ultimo MAGA. Now that Mr. Blood's here, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about Mr. Victim himself, Mr. Oh, you guys treated me like shit. Oh, I'm breaking up with all you guys. Ooh, boo, boo, feel sorry for me. Woe is me. John Cena came out on Monday Night Raw to pretty much freaking tell the people all the wrongs that they ever did to John Cena. John Cena is, you know, we should feel bad for him. We treated him like shit. We didn't appreciate him. You know, he was getting all kinds of boos. He was getting heat. And we're just the worst of the worst, according to John Cena. The fans are the problem here. And he blames everything on the fans and the WWE universe. And he's not going to give us what we want anymore. This toxic relationship that he has. It was an abusive relationship. He's done with it. And in a way, I kind of agree with all of this. Like, this felt real to me because he's right. Like, this kind of felt like he was saying what every famous person or every famous wrestler, probably how they really feel about the fans. Yes, the fans are great. Yes, the fans are the reason that we have success. But also, some of you guys are fucking dickheads. Some of you guys are straight assholes. Y'all, some some of you guys are the worst of the worst. So there's a lot of truth to what John Cena was saying about all this. And I know we have a lot of thoughts about this. So let's go with Mr. Blood first, and then we'll go down the line.
All right. First things first. I loved this entire segment, and I didn't at the same time. So this segment from entrance to cutoff is about 26 minutes, give or take 12 seconds, right? It's almost a half an hour, right? Cena comes out, Russell's showing the U.S. that, look, you're taking getting to be a fan of the crowd for granted, homie. You know, like, what a great crowd. I mean, you know, there are crowds that take segments and they put them to other levels. This segment, if it was in the States, in like fucking Philadelphia, it would have been great. Madison, great. But I mean, there's no crowd in the U.S. for a Monday Night Raw that would have upped this segment more than Brussels did. I'm telling you. This segment without that crowd, I think, isn't nearly as impactful. I think that's important to denote, because I listened to the segment twice all the way through. John Cena speaks a lot of truth to power here. He is not wrong. For 25-ish years, technically, not really 25, maybe 23 and a half, 24 if you count OVW. But for 25 years, he has literally had his career at the kind of mercy of the fandom, right? He comes in, he ruthless aggression against Kurt Angle, does the best he can, almost gets fired within a couple weeks of that. The only reason that man even gets lucky enough to keep his career is because Stephanie McMahon hears him rap on the back of a tour bus and says, hey, you should do that. Then we get the Doctor of Thugonomics, right? Then half that doesn't even work for the first part of the year that he's doing it. Gets a big break, right? He goes through all the cliff notes of his career. They love him for a little bit until they didn't. 05, 06 starts coming around after the Marine One movie. They like him. Then they start turning on him, polarizing, right? Then they hate him for a good 2 years till he has that horrible injury. He's supposed to be out for, 8-9 months. He comes back in 3 or 4 at the Rumble. And you know, the famous cross his arms, lift up, nod, gets the massive crowd pop. And within 20 fucking seconds of that pop, they are like, oh, wait a second. We hate this guy. And they start ripping him to shreds again. Just like John Cena mentioned tonight. He literally said, you guys loved it for the first 2 seconds, and then you started hating it. He's correct. The thing about this is, I think if this heel turn had been with anybody else, without the career of John Cena, this promo is your same run-of-the-mill, you never supported me, you never really cared about me, rah-rah bullshit, false speaking crap. Because remember, Becky Lynch tried that exact same promo a couple years ago when they turned her heel, and the fans didn't buy it. They kept trying to cheer her forever. They had to turn her back face because they couldn't get the fans to boo her, no matter what she did. She would come out and shit talk the city they were in. They would cheer for her. Okay? Any cheap pop she tried didn't work. Same thing when Austin fucking turned goddamn heel and joined the corporation. The fans wouldn't boo him. It started tanking their fucking stock because Stone Cold not being a face was ruining shit. Right? So it's the same thing with Cena. People say for the longest time, they should have turned Cena heel forever ago. They should have turned Cena heel forever ago. But it wouldn't have worked 15 years ago because they were already treating him like a heel when he was going up against people like CM Punk and The Rock the first time around, right? So they would literally treat him like he was already a heel, boo him like that anyway. I mean, his whole run against the Nexus, he basically buried the shit out of him like a heel. He's kind of always had heel tendencies. We just overlook it because he's Superman. But he's not wrong here. He's like, I have done everything y'all wanted. I have given you everything of me. Everything. All my time. All my energy. First to show up. Last to leave for years. Years. And I got half of y'all that support me and the other half boo me. And then he turns on the people who say that they support him. Even calling out a kid in the front row, okay, saying that you guys don't support me. He was like, you guys basically sit there on your asses, lazy as shit, while you watch me become great. And you're only wearing those things on your shirt because you want to emulate me, but not actually live the way I do. Those are words to you on a t-shirt. That's my life's motto. That's real shit to me. To him, he's still the baby face. Even though he said in the promo, I'm not a baby face or a heel. I'm a human being. I've given you everything. I've been injured for you, right? I wish he would have mentioned Make-A-Wish, but he could have. That alone. The record holder for the most granted wishes in history, Guinness World Record Book, award recipient, okay? This is about as good as a good guy fucking, you know, as good as a guy, a celebrity, can be. If you want to talk about using your platform to help and do good for people, John Cena is about as babyface like in real life as you can get, okay? So the fact is, no one would have bought his heel turn all those years ago because he was always genuinely just a good dude. You know, you needed something like this.
All right.
Where let's hear, he had the whole career to stack
hold that thought,
up.
Hold that thought, Mr. Blood. I'm going to let you finish your thoughts. I'm going to move on to Toxic. And then we'll go Tommy. Toxic, go ahead. What were your thoughts so far about the John Cena promo?
Oh boy, what a fucking promo. I loved this, but I hated it. For one specific reason. The crowd. Don't get me wrong, the crowd is one of the best parts about WWE, but they would just not shut up. And I wanted to hear what Cena had to say. I wanted to hear everything, but it took too long for him to start because they're like, I don't know. And yeah. The first half of the promo, it was good. But when Cody came out, it got better. It got better. And every single feud that Cody has had since becoming champion has been good. AJ Styles, Solo, Logan, all you get it. I don't know what about it, but every time Cody is across from the person he's in a feud with, it overpowers anything that he's done since he came back and had the Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins. I don't know, but I enjoyed this entire promo and segment.
Now you bring up some good points. The crowd was good. It was great. But that can also I'm going to sound so weird saying, I feel so weird saying this, but that kind of too much crowd engagement like that can also ruin some of the segments, like the Seth Rollins promo that we'll probably get into. It was mostly Seth Rollins going out there and just encouraging the fans to sing his song, and I don't remember him saying much of anything during his promo because it was mostly the crowd singing and him just standing in the middle of the ring. So I completely get what you're saying there, Toxic. Tommy, let's hear from you when it comes to the John Cena promo. How are you feeling about it? What did you think about John Cena's comments?
Well, the first thing that pops into my head right now is, congratulations, y'all. We just got dumped on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the pain that heel Cena has now brought. But overall, Cena spoke nothing but facts there. It's fully true. For the past like 25 years, in which he basically just spent a minute for each fucking year that he was there just talking before Cody even came out, which I found kind of funny to me. But it's overall true. Cena's entire career has been put on to us and what we wanted with him. And at this point, Cena's like, I'm sick of it. I'm done. Which at this point is justified because it's true. His entire career has been what we wanted it to be, not what he wanted it to be.
I'm kind of stuck with what to say because this promo from John was so good, but it was so confusing at the same time. Because on one hand, he's right, because the fans are very selective. But on the other hand, when he calls out his loyal supporters, he's wrong because they have been there every step of the fucking way. I mean, look at Narcolepsy Boy on TikTok and Instagram and all of that. He has been a John Cena fan ever since he first started. Like, no matter how much hatred was poured onto John Cena. This is nearly every single loyal supporter of John Cena. No matter how much hatred was thrown in his direction, it was those people that always stuck by him. That always was there during those tough times. And you have the audacity to go out there and shit on their name. Mm-hmm. When you have that young kid who's sitting in the front row, and you hear John Cena point you out and say that you are toxic. Do you have any idea how hurt that would be and how traumatic that would feel? Like, that's the one thing that all of these fucking internet trolls don't take into consideration. That it is those people that have stuck by you during those tough times that you take for fucking granted because all you want to focus on is the negative bullshit. But overall, John Cena is fucking, I don't know if he's fully justified, but he's somewhat justified for his actions. That's my take on it.
Yeah, so. For sure. No, I'm with you there, BT. I was kind of confused about this whole thing too. I was actually kind of glad that Cody Rhodes came out to defend the fans, defend the audience, and I was happy to see Cody, because what a babyface. Here comes Cody Rhodes when John Cena is letting the fans have it, you know, to rescue everyone, and Cody Rhodes got a big pop, and we got to see Cody confront John Cena, which was also good. But final thoughts here, you guys. After hearing, because Mr. Blood brought up a good point, we've heard this before. We've heard these excuses before from other wrestlers, not just Becky Lynch, but I feel like we've also heard it from The Rock, like in the early 2000s. I came back, you booed me. You know, I did all this and you booed me and you guys treated me like shit, you know? So we've heard this time and time again. So I guess like my only concern is, did you guys feel like it was worth the wait? We waited this long to hear from John Cena. We finally get to hear from him, and this is what we get. Mr. Blood?
All right, just to finish my thoughts. So the entire, like I said, is that the entire, this only works because you have the career of the stature that is John Cena's career. This promo, I feel with anybody else, it falls flat because it is, they did something intelligent here. They had him go out and cut a very basic, you turned your back on me promo with extra steps because he was able to pull from a 25-year library, right? He gave examples. You couldn't have, let's say, Batista come out like he did when he returned and the fans turned on because he wasn't Daniel Bryan. And him go, you turned your back on me. It didn't work with him because he was really with them for maybe 10 years time total at that point before he just ditched out. John Cena did double and a half that career. So he's not only completely justified, but he's a sympathetic heel, in my opinion, because this is he became a sympathetic heel by using the most basic heel turn fucking promo ever. The most basic one. That's what makes it genius. Now, I said I loved and hated this. What I hated was Cody. I did not like Cody in this segment. We waited 2 weeks for this, a little over 2 weeks for this, and Cody came out, spoke for 3.5 minutes. 3.5. This is on YouTube. This is a 26-minute, 19-second segment. Cody comes out. His entrance is longer than he talks. And he legitimately, for the last, I think it was 3 minutes and 47 seconds of the YouTube clip, cuts a few sentences worth of promo on John, lets John start to respond, then interrupts him, says, I'm not the kid, I'm the champ, big mic drop, and then says, I know who I am, who are you? And just leaves John Cena standing there dumbfounded. I was pissed. Almost half hour segment, and you wait to bring Cody out 5.5, 6 minutes before the segment's over. And we got 20 straight minutes of John Cena trying to get the crowd to let him finish. And I agree with Toxic. Love the crowd amping up this segment, but damn, did they distract. Because, and it's also on John Cena, for John Cena continuously allowing them to get in on him and keep responding and feeding. But if we wait this long for a segment, I expect a war of words. Okay, I hope I'm not the only one here. Cody came out, but what did he really fucking say? Think about it. What did he really say? I'm gonna beat you if you don't. If you're not the John Cena, you should be. That's basically it. That's what he said. I'm not a kid. I'm the guy who replaced you. That's fucking it. Half hour to get quick, to that Mr. response.
Let me jump in here real quick because he said a little bit more than that, and this is what got my attention, is that he stared at John Cena. He looked at him up and down, and he was like, I was actually looking forward to facing you at WrestleMania, but this isn't you. He said, I don't know. Who are you? Who is this? This is not John Cena. This is just some whiny bitch. So if you bring this guy to WrestleMania... Or you better bring this guy to WrestleMania, which...
But in my opinion, that entire promo is Cody working for 3 cheap pops. He cusses, that automatically gets a pop because he called him a bitch. The Rock's done that a million... That's The Rock's go-to, is to call someone a bitch for a pop. Mm-hmm. He then goes, I ain't the kid, I'm the champ. That gets a pop because he's the babyface. Everybody does that. Then the third one, who are you? Just to... cut Cena's leg down. It was a half hour for Cody to come out and drop 3 one-liners, essentially, and leave. We waited 2 weeks and 2 days. I needed way more back and forth on this, and I don't even know John Cena's next scheduled appearance before Mania. We're 4 weeks away from tomorrow.
I think so, next week he should be on Raw, John Cena. I think they
if he's that. Still on the European tour with him, I think the European tour is still next week. So I hope so. I just think we need way more between these two than just this. That's all I'm saying.
BT?
Yeah, I'm fully with Mr. Blood here. The fact that Cody's entrance is longer than his fucking promo is a bit despicable to me. And the fact that he just goes out there to just say, this isn't the John Cena that I grew up watching. Even though this is the John Cena that basically started his career to basically interact with the fans or trying to get the fans to appreciate him, which is something that he fucking harped on so many times. I want to make that clear. John Cena harped on that so many times. He did everything to make sure that those fans fucking connected to him and he could connect with them. And it was never enough. It was never enough. Like, I've even heard some people say that they don't even appreciate his 2015 US title run. Like, I've even heard people say that. Like, it is never enough with these fans. It's never enough. And that is the thing with these people. They are selective, outraged bunch of motherfuckers. They will never appreciate anything. It is why Jey Uso is getting the hatred that he is getting. Because they don't like whatever it is. He may not wrestle that good. He may not be fucking entertaining to the people that are watching on social media, like internet wrestling wise, but fucking the crowd different reaction to him. You know what I mean? Like, it's
they're fickle,
different.
BT. That's what you're trying to say. They're fickle.
Yeah, they're
fans
fickle
are fickle.
Yeah. They don't know how to book their way out of a paper bag. They wish that they could just run the show because they think that they can book a better show than Triple H. And the truth is, they can't. And that's the one thing that people always tell them, and they don't want to listen to them. So if you're going to trash on them so many times, you may as well not fucking watch them. But because you want the clicks, because you want the money and the profit that comes out of it, you can't change their mind. You can't.
Well, for what
but
it's
because
worth...
because you get all of these things that you take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Well, for what it's worth, I think that they gave us some of it, but there's still a lot more to come, obviously. I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to what happens next. We didn't get a new look. We didn't get a new song because John Cena is not going to give us what we want anymore. And I thought that was interesting. But I wasn't expecting was John Cena to come out and say what he said. I guess I was expecting more. That kind of throws my guess, my prediction out of the window that he did not do this on his own. I thought this was like, it was going to be like The Rock forcing him, not forcing his hand a little bit, but this seems like this is totally John Cena's decision to you know, go against the fans the way that he did. But closing thoughts with Tommy, and then we're going to move on because we're going to talk about, since you guys want to talk about Cody Rhodes' entrance being longer than his segment. Jey Uso's match was a lot shorter than his entrance, which we'll get into next. But final thoughts on John Cena, Tommy?
My biggest thing here, and this is what I'm going to do here. Blood, I'm sorry, but one of my favorite lines of this segment came from Cody, and it was the line that Edgar himself just said.
Which one?
The whole, this is not you. This is not the Cena I want to face at Mania. I want the actual Cena, not this bitch. Like,
but we've seen that before and heard it before a million times.
Like, I get that. But coming from Cody with the emotion that he put into it.
Not just the emotion.
I mean, it sounded better when Shawn Michaels said to The Undertaker, you know? Yeah. No, when Triple H sent to The Undertaker.
We've definitely
seen... I didn't get anything out of that.
We've definitely seen
And
this.
Is it just me? Is it just me, or did we not hear Cody Rhodes call The Rock the same thing last year?
We've seen this
because,
happen before.
Because The Rock is sort of the same thing.
We've seen this happen before, but I thought it was good because even though John Cena came out, he looked the same. He dressed the same. It was still the same John Cena, but Cody Rhodes was making it clear that
people were expecting him to say "fuck them kids," but he just didn't. Like, I even caught a glimpse of a live stream earlier today, and a girl on there flat out said, "If Cena does not say fuck them kids, they're missing out." Like,
so
that's
is,
how people expected it.
This is why that line that Cody Rhodes said at the end meant more than what I think you guys believe, because some people were still cheering for John Cena. I mean, there were some people in the crowd. I think Cody Rhodes, what he meant to do by saying that is put more heat on John Cena. Like, who? Like, this isn't you, man. Like, come on, you know? So... I think that's why that line, even though we've heard it millions of times, I felt like it was really important.
I just genuinely bought Cena in this. I didn't buy Cody in this one. And I love Cody. I love him. I'm not a Cody hater. I'm a Cody crybaby. I couldn't buy him in this. And I watched it twice to see if I would the second time. That's all I'm saying. I need to see more. Because if this had been a longer segment where Cody had gotten 15 minutes with John to trade words and barbs, I would have built up to buying it. I can't buy it in 3 minutes. You haven't sold me anything.